My name is Al Morse, and we're going to start another teaching, and it's going to be based on the final of the four. It's going to be part four, called Preeminence of the Gospel. Part four. I'd like for you to get your Bibles out, and this really is a study, and it's really, I hope it's going to work out great for everybody. What we're doing is we're looking at the Gospel totally. Going through all Paul's writings and picking out the gospel and circling it. And when we get done, you'll have a Bible with every place that talked about the gospel. It's circled. And then also everything that's pertaining to the gospel in these writings of Paul, we're going to check them. So get your Bible out, and we're going to work with part four on the preeminence of the gospel. We're going to turn to Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Circle it. This is, you know, it doesn't say in the truth of believing in Jesus or the truth of taking Jesus as your Savior. It says the truth, the word of truth is the gospel, and this hope is laid up in heaven, depends on this gospel for us. It's just so pronounced in Paul's writings, the gospel for our salvation. Okay, let's look at 1:14 and let's see what it has to say. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Check it. That pertains to the gospel, and it refers to the gospel. The blood, his blood, dying on that cross is for the forgiveness of sin. That's what the gospel is, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. That's the gospel. Let's look at 1:20. Colossians 1:20. "Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. I say, whether things in earth or things in heaven." Check it. There's nothing pertaining to the gospel any more than this does, or refers to it, or alludes to it, or makes mention of it. Check that verse. Look at 123. Well, let's do it 122. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight." That's what happens when you believe the gospel, and that's what he did when he died for our sins. We became holy when we believe it. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, because he's paid for every sin that we ever had. We can stand before God perfect because of what he did, not what anything we've done, because he did. Now look at verse 23. Then, but there's if there, just kind of like in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from what? From the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which you were preached to which was preached to every creature that is under the heaven, in which I, Paul, am made a minister." Circle that. Circle that, great, and put a big star by it. That's a wonderful verse. What a wonderful verse. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to the next book or letter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 5. It says, "For our gospel," circle it, "came not unto you in word only, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you." This is a beautiful verse too. Not only do we have, by believing the gospel, we have the power of God on us. When we believe the gospel, we are given the Holy Spirit as soon as we believe the gospel, and it lays it out in Ephesians 1:13 just beautifully. But this is a beautiful verse. Let's look at 1:10. And to wait for his son, for to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. If somebody says that the church is going through the tribulation, they haven't read this verse, have they? They haven't read this verse, have they? Check it. It's just, he delivered us from the wrath to come. We know it's going to come, and he's delivered us from it. We're not going through the tribulation. Let's look at chapter 2 and look what it says. Chapter 2. 2:2. It says, but even after you had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much intention. In Philippi, he went through all kinds of problems. But circle that. Look at 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, his gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but who testeth our hearts. This gospel, for he was in trust to the gospel. Look at verse 8. So being afflicted, desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. He said, we gave you the gospel, but it wasn't the gospel only. We gave you our love. I think Paul was a loving person. He had to have been to go through. He went through to the love. And then we look at verses 9, and it says, For yet remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you in any of you. We preached unto you the gospel. Circle it. And then look at 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, that's the gospel, which you heard from of us, you received it not as word of man, but as the word of truth and the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Man, if that isn't wonderful, it's beyond my imagination. Point your friends to that verse. Check it for sure. Check it. Okay, let's look at chapter 3, verses 2. And sent Timothy, our brother and the minister of God, our fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Timothy was also involved in the gospel, and he followed Paul along and helped these churches, every one of them he went to, because he preached the gospel also. Let's turn to chapter 4, verses 14. This is the rapture. We don't have time to go through it all. But just look what it says. You know, for years I prayed that the Lord would come in the rapture and take us home. But you see, I hadn't believed the gospel. And if it had come, I'd have been left behind. But I do now believe the gospel. Look what it says. It says, for if, this is 4:14, for if you believe that Jesus died and rose again. What is that? That's the gospel. And then it tells you, if you believe that, then this is what will happen to you. Obviously, if you don't believe the gospel, you're not going in the rapture. You're not saved. You're not saved if you don't believe the gospel for your salvation. It says, if you believe, check this, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them who are asleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Those that have died ahead of you, if they believe that the gospel, they're in heaven right now, and God's going to bring their souls and spirits with them to join with their new bodies at the rapture. Okay, let's go to 5. Make sure you check that. That's important. Okay, chapter 5, verses 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Check that. Check that. Check that. You see, we're not going to attain the wrath of God. The wrath of God won't fall upon us because we did what He told us to do, and that was to believe the gospel. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. This will wake up some people. It says, in the flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God, or obey not the gospel. Obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When you have somebody contention with the gospel, you just take them here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8. I'd maybe start at 7. But anyway, look, if you obey not the gospel, what's obeying not the gospel? Well, Christ told Paul to teach the gospel, and when he teaches to us, if we turn our back on it, we're not obeying the gospel. We're not obeying Jesus. We're not obeying Him at all. And we turn our back on it. We'd make our own idea for salvation. And Jesus has told us as plain as can be what our salvation is. And that's the gospel. Circle it. Circle it. Look at 1:10. And when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all of them that believed. Believe what? The gospel. Because of our testimony, what's his testimony? The gospel among you was believed on that day, or in that day. Check it. Man, we believed it. And because we believed it, we don't have to worry about the wrath of God. Let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 10. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. What's the love of the truth? That's the gospel, that they might be saved. Check it. Check it. Look at 12. That they might be judged who believe not the truth and believe not the gospel. You see that in Ephesians 1:13, it says it's called the truth. Believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Check it. Check it. And look at 2:14. Unto which He called you by our gospel. Circle it. Circle it. To obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we attain that glory, to believe the gospel. To believe the gospel. Let's turn the next page to Timothy. Timothy. Timothy chapter 1:11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. That's all he preached. That's all he preached. The glorious gospel. Circle it. Circle it. Look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 and we'll see verses 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What's the knowledge of the truth? The gospel. the gospel. Look at 2:6. Who gave himself ransom for us all to be testified in due time. That's the gospel, right? He was ransomed for us. He died for us on the cross. He died for us on the cross. Check it. Now, 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:8. Second Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Circle it. Circle it. The power of God is the gospel, and the power of God is salvation, and that's the gospel. Look what it says in 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Think about that. You see, all of us are facing death. Every one of us are. There's no one who goes off this earth unless they die. Unless the Lord comes in the rapture and takes us home before we die. That could happen. And I believe it could happen at any minute. But look what happens when we believe, how we can just feel so comfortable, not worried about death. We know we are in His hands. Let's read that again. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. You see, we won't know death. When we die, the second this old body quits breathing, we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be with Him in a way that we never could imagine. And we're going to never have death again. And hath brought life and immortality to light. How do you do it? Through the gospel. Through the gospel. It says, unto which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And you just wonder, why do not the churches today preach this? I mean, these things that we've gone through are just marvelous. Marvelous. And it shows us exactly what we have to do to be saved. And they do not teach it. They've turned their back on it. And of course, I always say the reason why is that Satan has taken over the churches. Their ministers are in the churches every day. And they're teaching our children, our young people, that are going out to be ministers. They're teaching them. And they're not teaching them the gospel. They totally, totally turn their back on the gospel. And it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. There's literally millions of believers that they think they're saved on this earth. I mean, there's probably millions of people who believe they're saved, and they haven't a clue what salvation is. And they go to church every Sunday. And they do everything the pastors tell them to do. They pay money to the churches. They're baptized. They do all these things. They join the churches and all these things. And they think they're saved. But there's no salvation in anything. Anything at all they're talking about. It's only in believing the gospel. And if we can't get this out of what we've read these last few weeks on these four preeminent gospel things, when you read these and see how important the gospel is, you just can't understand how we could totally turn our back on it. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1:10. No, we did 10. 2:8. He says, remember, This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to what? My gospel. My gospel. He's the one. The gospel is what told us that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And this is what the gospel preaches. You see, if Christ hadn't risen from the dead, we'd still be in our sins. No matter what you believed, no matter what you did, you would still be in your sins. But he did raise from the dead, proving that he approved of his death on that cross to pay for our sins. And when we look to the gospel and believe that, that's salvation for you. And there's no other salvation in this book for us or for anybody else today. It's for everybody in the world to believe the gospel for their salvation, because Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead and he did it all. He did it all. We don't have to add anything to it. And we don't add anything to it. Paul was, you saw that he wouldn't allow anything to hinder the gospel. And we're not by works of righteousness. Not by works of righteousness that we do, but what Christ did on that cross is what saved us. There's no works that we can do. No works at all that we can do in order to be saved. There's the last one. I'd like to just turn to Titus chapter 3. To go ahead and show you what I meant when I said works of righteousness. 3:5 it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, when he saved us through believing the gospel, he gave us the power of God, and that's the Holy Spirit living in us. You see, the law didn't do the job. God gave the law to the Jews, and when Jesus walked on this earth, there was over 600 laws. 600 laws to try to take these people, these Jewish people, and point them closer to God. But it didn't work. It didn't work. They totally rejected Christ. Totally rejected him, and they killed him. And then when Jesus came back, he set the Jewish people aside and he called out a whole new church, and this is the body of Christ. And this body of Christ was going to be saved by one thing and one thing only: his gospel. That he died for our sins and he was buried and he rose from the dead, and then he was going to give us the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need laws. We don't have any laws in the church. We have God living in us, and he points us the way we should go. Points us the way we should go. And when he does that, he draws us closer to him every day, and his grace covers any sin that we would ever do. But we don't want to sin. Not when you believe the gospel and when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the last thing you want to do. We become a new creation. And as soon as you believe the gospel, you tell Jesus, you tell God that you believe the gospel, and you name it. You tell him right out loud and say, I believe the gospel, Lord, that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead. And as soon as you do that, the Holy Spirit will be sealed in you, and you'll know it. You'll know it. Things will change in your life. It made me just, all of a sudden, I could study the Bible for hours before I had to work at it. Just studied it for 5 minutes. But it's just fantastic what he's done for me. And it happened right away. You don't have to wait for it. You become a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Everything. Just don't look at Philemon. This is the last place I saw the gospel in. In verses 13, Philemon, it says, whom I have whom I have retained with me, that in thy stead he might be ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. You see, he was imprisoned, and this Philemon came and helped him while he was in prison. But he was a runaway slave, and he wrote this letter to his slave master, who was a believer. And he sent him back to him and told him that you accept him as a brother, not a slave, because he's a brother in Christ. And he was in the bonds of the gospel. Because he preached the gospel, he was thrown in prison. And he was been in prison many times because of it. He was been beaten many times because of it. 5 times he was beaten with the cat of nine tails. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 1 time he was stoned to death, all by the Jews. And finally God told him, right off the bat, told him to go to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. Preach the gospel. But they wouldn't accept Jesus then, and they won't accept him now. There are very few Jews that believe the gospel. Very few. But there are some, I know that. And it's wonderful. But very, very few. You don't find a synagogue anywhere that preaches that Christ was the Messiah. They're not there. It's not there. The Jews have totally turned their back on him. I hope this has helped you, and I hope when you mark these in your Bibles that you could be able to open your Bibles, and when you go through Paul's writing, they'll shine up like stars everywhere you see it, and you can see that the gospel, how preeminent the gospel really is. I pray that this will just bring you closer and closer to him, to the Lord Jesus. I just want to pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to teach the gospel, and I pray that every person that is listening to me, that they will come to the saving knowledge of the gospel. Amen.